Psalm 139 ends with this prayer request. Search me. Search me. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Isn't that a great prayer? Search me. Have you said that to God this week? I'll bet the challenge group has. Search me. Now that's not a snide remark like, what are you bringing to the picnic on the second? I don't know. Search me. No, it's a prayer for God to look into our hearts and to see what is truly there. It's an invitation for God to know us as we really are and to move us to become who He wants us to be. Search me. How did King David get to the point where he could and would ask God to search him in that way? I think King David got to that point by knowing what kind of a God he truly is. And Psalm 139 sings it to us. Let's look together at it. Verse 1. For the director of music of David, a psalm. Now, we don't know much more about the context of this prayer. Many scholars believe that David has been accused by someone else of being unfaithful to the Lord. And he's seeking vindication here. I'm not sure if that's true. I'm not sure at all what the historical setting was for this particular psalm. I'll bet they said at Challenge this week that sometimes it's better not to know these details because the application feels even more immediate to our lives now. Regardless of the setting, it's a psalm of King David meant to be sung by others like you and me and applied to our lives today. David ends the psalm by asking God to search him, but he begins the psalm by stating that he knows the Lord already has searched him. Verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. I've got 4 points this morning that are actually 4 honest prayers that we can pray back to the Lord ourselves. Here's 1. You know me. Lord, you know me. David can end up asking God to search him because he already knows the Lord has already done so. You know me. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. That word to search means to examine. In our computerized world, we use the word search all the time, right? Often we set a computer going to find some piece of information that we lack. We Google things today, right? The ubiquitous search bar. But this is not an impersonal search for a trivial piece of information. This is being known. This is being examined. This is a person taking a closer look at another person. It's more like a trip to the doctor than putting a query into ChatGPT. God, you have checked me out. And you know me. David is amazed at how well God knows him. That's verse 2. You know when I sit and when I rise, up or down. You know it. And not just what position I'm in, what I'm thinking. He says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. God is a mind reader. Verse 3. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. We just sang those words together, didn't we? All my ways are known to you. Whether I get up and drive to Kansas City or get up in Kansas City and drive all the way back, whether I get up and head out on my walk down Viaduct Road in the morning or come home and go to bed, you know all of my doings, my patterns, my ways. And this is not just impersonal information. It's not just that God has a database of factoids about me. I'm not just in his spreadsheet. He knows me. He's familiar with all my ways. Many of you have pets. Who's got a pet here? Okay, yeah. Nearly everybody has one in their home. Do you know the ways of your pet? If you came home and your pet was nowhere to be seen, do you have a good idea where they would be found? You know the ways of your pet, their comings and their goings and their habits. It's not just that you could look it up in an encyclopedia. What do cats generally do? No, you know your pet and how he or she acts. You're familiar with their ways. How much more is God familiar with our ways? He knows us so much better than we know ourselves. Verse 4, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Sometimes my wife Heather knows what I'm going to say before I do. I thought I just came up with that sentence. I liked it a lot. Heather was way ahead of me. Not necessarily because we think alike, not like she would say the same thing, but because she knows me. How much more does God know us? Do you see how personal this psalm is? Our challenge group learned this week that the Psalms are intensely personal. David is saying, you know me completely, and not just as a bunch of facts, but personally, intimately, deeply, truly, relationally. You know me. Verse 5, you hem me in, behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. This is the mind-blowing emoji, right? I just can't grasp how much you know me, God. David is filled with wonder that he is known in this way. Does the same truth fill us with wonder today? Most people desperately want to be known. I think that's one of the major reasons for much of what we see, for example, on social media. People are crying out, know me. I'm putting myself out here. Know me. Church, you are known by the one that matters the most. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Number 2, you've got me. That's what David is saying in verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand on me. You've got me. I'm trapped. There's no escaping from behind. There's no back door. And there's no escape from before. You've arrested me. You've laid your hand on me. It's not clear whether or not David wants to escape from God. Perhaps that feeling of being known also gives him a touch of the willies and fosters an urge to escape. Or maybe he's just saying that even if he wanted to get away, he knows he can't. Either way, there is no hiding from the Lord. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. We sang those words this morning too, didn't we? You will hold me fast. There's no getting away from this God. He's everywhere. If verses 1 through 6 were about God's omniscience, verses 7 through 12 are about God's omnipresence. But it's not just that God is there, standing around like some absent-minded professor. You know, some people, they're kind of there, but they're not all there. You know what I'm talking about? No, this is saying that God is present. He's relationally with David wherever David would run to. The sky? Check. The ocean floor? Check. Flying at the speed of light? Yep. On the other side of the world? He's there too. You can't get away from this God. You can run, but you cannot hide. Not even in the darkest place. Verse 11, if I say, oh, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For the God who is light, there is no place that is dark. For the God who is light, there's no place that is dark. What's the upshot of that for you and me? Well, at first, it might not seem like good news. Who wants inescapable supervision? Right? Somebody watching you all the time kind of sounds like prison to me. But David knows that it is good news. Look at verse 10 again. Wherever I am, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Even there. Even here. I'll tell you who wants inescapable supervision. Sheep do. Or at least they, if they don't want it, they need it. Sheep need a shepherd all the time. You and I are needy people, and we need a good shepherd to keep a guiding hand on us all the time. It's so good to be able to say, "You've got me." Have you prayed that this week? Anybody use those words with the Lord? Lord, this situation that I'm in, it's so painful, but I know you've got me. Lord, you've got me. Perhaps you're going through something right now that is really rough. Some of you are. Have you thanked the Lord that you are not alone in your pain? Have you given yourself and your situation over to Him like Haley was talking about earlier in Psalm 62? I talked to somebody this week who just was not willing to say that to the Lord. She couldn't say, "You've got me." I'm praying for her to be able to get to that spot. Lord, you've got me. I know that I can't get away from you, and that is such a good thing. I'm yours. Because you made me. You made me. That's verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This is how deep this relationship goes. David knows that he is the Lord's own creation. God is not just omniscient and omnipresent. He's the creator. He's the maker. God didn't just come to know David over time. He's known David all the time, all along from the beginning, because he made him. This is the verse that we quote every January during Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And that's right. It's all about that. It's all about how God is intimately involved in the making of us, the designing of us. He designed each one of us personally, and that bestows a heaping measure of dignity to every human life. But David is saying something even more profound. He's saying that in making us, God knows us and has every right over us. Verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, the womb. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I think that David uses the images of the depths of the earth to describe the most hidden place that he can think of. You know, they didn't have any ultrasound machines back then. The womb was, for David, the most hidden place a person could be alive on earth. But God saw into the womb. God was there in the womb, and God was directing that new life. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. David just lives in amazement, doesn't he? He puts it into a song. He's like, I just can't believe this. He can't hardly believe how fearfully and wonderfully he is made, and he can't hardly believe how sovereign God is over his life, and he can't hardly believe how deep and long and wide are the thoughts of God. So he throws up his hands and sings gratitude. These thoughts make and create, these thoughts that are so awesome, they cannot be numbered. Scholars are divided over what that last sentence in verse 18 means. When I awake, I'm still with you. Does that mean that David has been exhausted by these innumerable thoughts and then wakes up after thinking through them? Or does it go back to the first section and mean that even in the mornings when David gets up, there is God, even here, groggy as our challenge team is this morning. Some scholars even think it means awakening from resurrection, even when I come back from the sleep of death. Any way about it, the point is, I'm still with you. There He is. There God is. God is not absent. God is present, and I am with Him even here. Now, how with Him am I? How with God am I? I mean, He's all here, but am I all His? I think that's the point of the next four verses. For many of us, these four verses feel like a record scratch, like an intrusion, like they don't quite fit. But they flowed very naturally for King David. Look at verse 19. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Now that's what we call an imprecatory prayer. The challenge group learned about that on Thursday when Pastor Stephen Love preached from Psalm 10. It's an imprecatory prayer, is a prayer for justice to be done by the Lord, even here. Now, we tend to stumble over these verses because they can seem so far from our Lord Jesus' command to love our enemies. And there is something new about our Lord's command that at least modifies what's going on here in these verses when you move it over into the new covenant. But the emphasis here is not on personal hatred of those who are our enemies. The emphasis is on loyalty to God over against those who are His enemies. David is saying that he does not side with those who side against God. You see what I'm saying? David is saying he does not side with those who side against God. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? Another way of saying it would be, I'm not on Satan's side. Not one bit. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on Yahweh's side. I do not identify with the enemies of God. I hate them. You see how that works? It's not saying that we shouldn't love our enemies. God loves His enemies. But there is a right way to love our enemies, and even a right way to hate them by not joining them. If the choice is between loving them and their ways or loving God and His, then we side with God every time. In other words, David is saying, you can count on me. Lord, you can count on me. How's that for a prayer? Can you pray that today? You can count on me, Lord. You know which side of the battle you'll find me on. I know you know me. I know you've got me. I know you've made me. And so I'm yours. I'm completely yours. So yes, go ahead and search me. See if my prayer is true. Check out my heart. See if what all these things I'm saying is true about me. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Go ahead, Lord. I know you already know what you're going to find. Search me. Know my heart. Test me. Examine me. Listen to my thoughts. Some of them, I admit, are very anxious. This generation of young people is marked by anxiety. And so am I. And if I'm really honest, yes, I'm anxious about you too, Lord. Lord, sometimes you worry me. Sometimes I feel like I want to escape, to hide, to get out of your gaze, but I know there's nowhere to go. And when I think about it the right way, I know there's no place I'd rather be than with you. And to the degree that that's not true for me today, please forgive me. See, he says, see all the offensive ways in me and cleanse me by the precious blood of Christ. King David knew that God knew his sin. It was ever before him. And David knew, our challenge group learned from Psalm 51 this week, Pastor Eric taught at challenge on Tuesday, that David knew what it means to be forgiven. And we know that forgiveness comes from the work of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God to cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. So we can say, search me, O God, and cleanse me, God, I pray, even here.